Welcome to the 1% Better Method Podcast. My name is Austin Backshaw. I'm a certified nutrition coach helping my clients optimize their nutrition for optimal results. I live by and preach the 1% Better Method, which allows us to focus on the day-to-day wins that compound into something amazing year after year. In this podcast, my guests and I will dive into ways to optimize your nutrition, build healthier habits, change your mindset, what not to do, and practical takeaways that can make you 1% better today. Thank you for choosing to listen to what my guests and I have to say. Let's get 1% better. Hey, welcome back to the 1% Better Method Podcast. Today I have a repeat guest, Bethany Hood, my coach on my team, is here, and we're going to discuss meal tracking, tracking calories, and all of that fun stuff that everyone thinks is the most tedious thing in the world. Bethany, say hi.
Hi, what's up?
Bethany's, if you guys are watching this on video, or if you're not watching it on video, Bethany's just, she just does her calls on the floor. Sit pretty much just big chilling. And we are excited to dive into this today because I think it's going to be a really cool topic, especially for the younger folks who listen to this podcast and want to learn more about creating awareness around their intake, want to learn more about what calorie counting is, because there's so many different sides to it. Especially when you're, if you're on TikTok, if you're on Instagram, if you're on social media, there's the side of you don't need to track calories. It's going to cause an eating disorder. You're going to get disordered eating, and you're going to get obsessed with it, and it's going to cause all of these negative things to happen in your life. And then there's this side that explains that calorie counting isn't everything. It's not the end all be all. It's about understanding your intake. It's about understanding a basic knowledge of nutrition, and it's about creating awareness around your life, around your eating, so you can start creating a better structure and routine around it. Today, I would like to hear your background on tracking before we kind of work together, and like what your mentality was around it. If you'd like to share.
So I had tracked before, inconsistently before we had worked together. Mm-hmm. And, that was, you know, I didn't actually have a macro plan or anything at that time. I was just doing it more so like the more, you know, basically, you know, you what you sit down to track your macros, and it's just informational at first, or at least for me, it was, that's where I saw the most change in my body. Like that's where all the magic happened for me when, like with my physique, was when I tracked consistently. So, beforehand it was more so just to kind of playing around with it, but not actually like on a structure, like this is what my goal is. Just to, you know, especially I remember when I first stopped eating meat back in 2017, when I eliminated that from my diet, tracking was something I used for a little bit, just to see where my protein intake was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's a crazy thing that you don't really advertise that much, is how you are plant-based and how you really don't eat meat, and you've been a vegetarian for 5-6 years now. And, and I know that, like, I'm not the person who's going to give you 180 grams of protein eat, but we've been eating 130 plus ever since you've been training with me. And now that we're actually pushing and kind of working on growing a little bit more, you are eating close to your body weight in grams of protein. And I definitely want to dive into that and like what a day of your eating looks like for someone who's eating 150 grams of protein in a plant-based setting. But tracking is so important because the volume that you have to eat is astronomical compared to
exponentially higher.
Yes, the volume is huge because it's like a lot of little things, and it's all about weight. And you have to understand that when we're tracking, weight is going to be king. Weighing everything and actually getting an idea of how much, and knowing what unit you're using, knowing that that data does not lie. Like if you have the data, that is going to be what is going into your body. So did you have any like mental blocks around tracking, or did you ever feel like, or have friends who like were like, oh my God, you're tracking, you know what that's going to do to you?
I mean, I never had any friends, you know, do as far as like that, you're going to become obsessed. But I did experience, especially in the workplace, at the restaurant, a lot of people who would, you know, see like a meal prep container, for instance, that's usually what sparks a conversation. And then they're like, oh, you know, you're healthy. And then I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just eating, bringing my lunch with me. And then as soon as the conversation gets going, and then they're like, so what are you doing? You know, and I mention anything about tracking, weighing my food, measuring, like, oh, immediately I'm cut off immediately. That's too much. Oh, I can never do that. I don't have time for that. It's too much. So basically just people, more so people projecting their own shit, like, oh, that's way too much. That's, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, anybody's called me obsessive, but I've had people definitely give me their two cents about it.
Well, think about it. I think pretty much nearly everybody is addicted to something.
Yeah.
You can be obsessed with whatever you want to be obsessed with. But some people are obsessed with social media. Some people are obsessed with how they look. Some people are obsessed with a sports team. Choose your obsession. And if your obsession is to understand what you're putting into your only body that you'll ever have every day. And
the one vehicle you get.
Yeah, the one vehicle. And if your obsession is to understand your energy levels and understand how to support your hormones and make sure that you're fueling your body so you can do the cool shit that you do each day, each week. That's just your choice. Like I said, like everybody has a choice around an obsession that they want to choose. And it's just whenever, if you're listening to this and you've ever mentioned that you're tracking your food for someone says, oh, I can never do that. Just know that you're on a good trail. You're on a good path. Because someone else doesn't do much doesn't mean that you should question why you're doing something. And if you are constantly questioning why you're doing something, you should find a better tribe. You should find more people who do what you do. Because if you ever watch Castaway, shit doesn't go well when you're by yourself. And humans are tribe mentality. Men, women, we're all tribe mentality.
We're relational creatures. We are relational creatures.
And if we feel like we're out of the pack, there's two options. Find a new pack or we stop what we're doing. So our pack accepts us for who we are. So that's kind of like a massive like reason why I've been so passionate about growing the MYB community and getting good people in there just who are needing a pack. And what was that? I forget the book I was reading, The Way of Men or something like that. It might have been I forget what it's called. If I think of it, then I'll say it. But it talks about tribe mentality. It talks about how humans are, to their core, evolutionary. We are tribe mentality, and we have to understand that if we want to grow something, because without the without a tribe, we are leaderless. We are we don't have direction. We struggle with our purpose, and just getting in a community, getting in a gym setting, getting in any type of community setting that has people who believe what you believe. Ours is to get 1% better every single day. Like that's it. There's no other meaning behind that. It's just getting 1% better. And that could be tracking your food. That could be diving into a little bit more educational research around why we eat, what we eat, and when we eat, when we should eat versus when we shouldn't eat. Honestly, it's just about growing, and it's about being curious about the human body, about what science and research is showing, and how we can better improve our life day by day. That's what I noticed whenever we started growing it, was these people, like there's 18-year-olds joining, there's 40-year-olds joining, like there's
the diversity is amazing. It's crazy. I love it. It's beautiful.
And it made me realize that this is something I should put a lot of time and energy into, when I realized that how diverse the crowd was. It wasn't like moms who want to get skinnier. It wasn't gym nerds who just want to get buffer. It's not that. It's just literally people who are looking to get better. And
growth mindset.
And they're not stuck with where they are. They might be happy with where they are, but they know that there's a better version of themselves out there, and that's going to happen. And they're going to find that version through sticking to the process, through doing the dirty things each day that no one else wants to do, or will look at you sideways for doing. And the first thing is, I think in my experience of coaching for people for the last 3.5 years, once people start seeing the benefits of tracking, their life changes.
Yeah.
Completely.
Absolutely.
Completely.
Well, their mindset can begin to change then too.
Yes.
At that point.
Because they allowed this new thing that their coach or someone told them to do. They actually went all in on it. And then they actually saw after week three or four, they feel better. Like, they're sleeping
better.
Oh, it's
addicting. It's addicting. When I saw my first, like, that first 4 week progress picture that I had with you, it was that first little, like, my mind was blown, because not only was I seeing like the physical manifestation of that work that I had just put in, but I'm over here on the other end, like, I'm sleeping better. I'm waking up better. I'm less stressed. Like, I'm able to navigate my day better. I'm not napping every single day. Like, I think that's where a lot of the initial hesitation comes with people who haven't ever experienced that for themselves or tried it or, you know, done any type of self-research, is it's only branded and marketed as a physical thing, as a, this is going to make you look good. And for 95% of people, that's just not enough, because, you know, everybody wants to look good, but like, not a lot of people want to do any of the work that comes along with that. But if it could, like, that's part of where I'm like, something I want to work on in my own personal journey is marketing and branding the better sleep, less stress. You're going to wake up better. Like, there's more than just a physical side effect that comes along with managing your nutrition and tracking and just being more aware of what you're putting in your body, you know?
And the sad thing is, like, that stuff isn't sexy. It's not.
Oh no. Like,
if you expect to
that's
only
why it's
talk
not marketed
about that,
for that.
It's not marketed. If it is marketed, it's very niched, and it's in a community, or it's a specific company that sells products to those people who are looking for those holistic approaches. But it's sad because, like, the people who you market to, who want to learn more about that stuff, is the people listening to this stuff, is the people who are actually taking the extra step, not just reading an Instagram post or watching a reel. They're listening to an hour-long podcast, and they're like, whoa, I didn't realize that. Like, damn, calorie counting can actually help, like, with my sleep. That can help, like, with my anxiety levels. That can help with feeling a little bit more purpose each day. Like, wow, that's crazy. Like, that's the people who are learning that stuff are actually diving into it heavier. And that's what's the amazing thing about having a podcast, is it just allows you to throw in a bunch of nuggets that you don't normally talk about on social media, because it's not that sexy and it's not marketed very well, and usually it'll just get kicked right out of the algorithm, and no one really cares. Mm-hmm. But the people who do care listen. The people who do care ask questions, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what I've been doing with this podcast for the last two. I started in 2020, almost 3 years. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
fuck. It'll be 3 years in April. So 2.5 years. Crazy. So kind of dive into this, and guys, I'm gonna have Bethany kind of go into her week by, like, day by day of her week, and because she does a lot of stuff. She's very busy right now, working doubles at a restaurant just because of the holiday season, but she's still doing her best with her macros, and she's honestly doing pretty good with it. So I'm gonna have her dive into her day by day of kind of how she prepares for this, especially as someone who's plant-based. So you get two nuggets: one, someone who's very busy and still hitting her macros; two, someone who's also plant-based. That might give you a little bit more ideas on how to add a little bit more whole foods into your diet that's also high in protein. But before I start there, I wanted to dive into this question. Someone asked me a question the other day, and it was, Austin, if you could, like, break up, like, why should someone count calories? Like, it, could you break that up into, like, little nuggets? I'm like, well, yeah. And this is what I would start with. I think there's, like, seven of them. So first off, what I would say is this: create awareness around your intake. So one would be to create awareness around everything you put from hand to mouth. What's going in your body daily? And getting an idea of the total amount of calories, aka energy, that we are giving ourselves daily. And I wouldn't look at it with day by day. I would look at it by the week. So if you're someone who's new, this is important, because not every day is the same, and not every stress level is the same each day. Mm-hmm. So our appetite is different, our days are different, and if you're someone who has a chaotic schedule, this is going to be different. So what I want you to do is literally do your best, track as much things as you can to the as accurate as you possibly can in MyFitnessPal, Fitbit, whatever you want to use, for a week. Once you get the week, divide that total number, so add up all your calories that you ate for the week divided by seven. This is going to be your overall average intake that you're giving yourself weekly. or daily. So that'll allow you to see if you are binging on the weekends and eating nothing on the week, if you're eating a lot at night, or you're eating nothing throughout the day and then a lot at night. It'll allow you to kind of see trends as well when you look at it as from like an Excel spreadsheet. Like I would use Excel or something like that, so you can see each day, and then you can have an average of the days, and then you can kind of see like on MyFitnessPal when you were eating. But yeah, it's all about one, creating awareness. Once you create awareness, you can change. If you don't have awareness, you're never going to change. Mm-hmm. If you are addicted to drinking and no one tells you you're addicted to drinking and you don't know you're addicted to drinking, you're not going to quit drinking. It's as soon as someone says you're an alcoholic. And
like, it's all a good time, man.
And then it's like, oh shit, maybe I am an alcoholic. I drink a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck. And people can be addicted to food. They don't realize how much they're eating. And especially when they're eating fast food, that's super dense in calories. So that's what you're going to realize is you'll be shocked that the next time you go to like Raising Cane's, how much calories you're eating. You'll be shocked if you go to Dairy Queen and get a medium blizzard, what that bitch is packed with. It was funny. Did you listen to Bella's podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How she was talking about McDonald's. She's like, I got large fry, large shake.
Yeah.
10 piece, and it was like over 1,000 calories, and I was, and she's like, and I'd eat it and I'd feel great, and then all of a sudden nothing, like I was hungry again in 2 hours.
Well, yeah, hit a wall.
Yeah. And that's what we want. We want awareness. And you can say that it is obsessive to know what's in each food, each and everything you eat, but honestly, like I said, I personally don't track currently. I tracked for about a year straight back in 2019, mm-hmm. and then about 6 months in 2021. And I will track for a maintenance or cut, just because it kind of creates structure around it. So it's like, okay, I know I'm done eating for the day and I don't go and snack. But what that did was it created such an awareness of what's in food. Like I can give a rough estimate to 100 plus or minus calories per meal that I eat typically. Yeah. I can give you the macro breakdowns of eggs. I can give you macros of all the snacks that I eat. This energy drink that I'm drinking.
Start to build a mental, like you start to have an inventory of the things that like you're consistently.
Yes. It's just like, in. It's just like getting under a barbell squat and learning how to lift that fucker efficiently over time, you're going to slowly get better and better and be able to put more weight on it. And that's kind of the same mentality, like just how your body and mind muscle connection works. Like you will create these reps of with these numbers, and these numbers are just numbers until you create meaning around them. And that's what we're doing when we start counting calories is we're putting awareness and putting meaning behind these numbers. And these numbers will serve a purpose later down the road. But at first, they are literally just there to create awareness. So first, create awareness. Second, create awareness around your diet of what each meal looks like to you. So are you eating one meal a day that's 1,000 calories? Are you eating a bunch of snacks and not really eating any meals? So this will also allow you to see kind of what your balance of your meals look like with your macronutrients. Are you only eating carbohydrates in the morning? Are you eating very little protein? So the next thing is going to be about the awareness of your macronutrients and what that looks like per each day. The second thing or third thing is going to be get an idea of your maintenance calories. So I already kind of talked about that. You add up each day divided by 7 for the week, and you're going to get an idea of where you're maintaining. And this I recommend doing for about a month before you decide anything to like start losing weight. I would recommend just tracking for a month and not really setting a goal, just overall seeing where you're at. And this will give you an idea of where you're currently maintaining your weight at. Because if you're someone who is eating nothing and your metabolism is very, very, very slow, and I don't like using slow, it's inefficient. There's things that are not going, your detox pathways, your liver enzymes are not doing what they're, or you might have low liver enzymes that's slowing down digestion. You might have your thyroid that's slow, that's slowing down digestion. You might have a lot of things that are going on there that that need less stress in the body, because eating low calories for a long period of time is a stress. And when you turn it into a lifestyle, your body becomes stressed and it's chronically stressed. And how do we limit stress? There's multiple ways. Yes. Yes. You might be thinking you're gaining all this weight, but really you're just holding a lot of inflammation in your body, which you might have gained a little bit of weight, but if you're eating nothing and you think you're gaining weight, that's not true. So yes, what we have to do is get an idea of what your maintenance calories is. And if it's very low, and you're eating 1200 calories a day and you are a 30-year-old who has a mom, has a job, all this stuff, not nearly enough. There needs to be a recovery aspect to your overall diet, and not even thinking about trying to lose weight for at least 6 months.
This is the hardest thing for me to try to convey to people.
Oh, it's hard.
It's like someone has poured concrete around their brain to where they will not take in this tidbit of information that I'm like,
this is huge. And if you're listening to this,
you've got
to
do it.
You have to do it. And there is an awkward building part to this. Bethany was on the other side of the spectrum. She was skinnier and she lost a lot of weight, but she wasn't at a spot that she was like ready to shoot up, like as in just gain all this weight. She had to slowly build, and she couldn't just randomly eat 1,000 more calories than what she was eating. She had to slowly build that up. So she still had good digestion. She didn't slow that down. She still supported her hormones. She still was able to break down food quick enough for how busy she was. So this is when having a coach is very helpful, because this is the scary part, especially for women. You're telling them for 6 months you're not going to lose weight, and you're like,
"Yeah,
wait, but I want to lose weight. I want to look better. Like, and I know if I lose weight, I'll look better." But you can't look at your last 2 years of you being an asshole to yourself, of hating yourself, and creating all this inflammation through yo-yo dieting and crash dieting, and expect your body to change in 2 months. That's not going to happen. You cannot.
Well, people
do that.
Are just shown such a if then like process when it comes to losing, gaining, fitness, health, any of it, dieting. It's if in 95% of the time, it's if you eat less, you will be skinnier. If you go to the gym more, you will be fitter and stronger. And it's just not that way. And I don't know how, like, it's just for long-term marketing, I guess, you know, the way it's just been presented for so long.
I mean, every mentor I've ever had tells me to sell what they want and give them what they need. So regardless of what you're doing, is as coaches, we're going to tell you that you're going to be able to lose weight. Like, it's going to take a lot longer than you think.
Yeah.
Because you want to do it sustainably. You don't want to do it and then next year hire me again and go, "Hey, I need to lose weight again." I'm like, "Well, what happened? Did you not follow protocol after we stopped working together?" "No, I kind of started doing what I used to do, and then I gained it all back, and now I'm ready to lose it all again." Yeah. I'm like, at that point, I don't want to work with you, because if you're not willing to commit the next 8 months, 6 to 8 months of making it a lifestyle, then you're just going to keep doing this. And sure, would I like your money? Sure. But do I want to keep doing what you're doing and not really create an actual change in someone's life? Not really. So this is where you have to be kind of selective on who you work with, because there's a lot of people who just want quick changes. They just want a quick fix. And that's not what coaching should be. It should be about assessing multiple full spectrum of health. What is their lifestyle like? What does their environment look like? What are they putting in their body? What are they doing in the gym? What are they doing for themselves outside of everything? Do they have a hobby? Yeah. Do they have something that they can lean on? Do they have someone they can lean on?
Do you have a support system? These are all factors that just aren't talked about, though. And I feel like the moment that there's even an opportunity for that conversation, it'll kind of just click something in your mind like, "Oh, maybe all of these other factors are important. It doesn't matter that I'm super restrictive in my diet and I'm going to the gym 7 days a week. I haven't even considered all of these other things."
Yeah. And you don't, and you don't know what you don't know. I mean, until you have the epiphany moment of, "Oh, this makes sense. Oh, wow. Maybe that does work. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Should listen to that person more." but kind of diving into back. Okay. So tracking calories. Why do you track calories? Data doesn't lie. Number four, data does not lie. If you see the numbers and it's accurate tracking, it's going to show you, it's going to give you a picture. And if you can, and if you're someone who's on the fence about coaching, if someone comes to me with a month of tracking food every day and shows me what the last month looked like of their tracking, you realize you just skipped 2 months of coaching. Like, that is huge. That one shows that coach that you are committed, that you will do what you're given. Two, it allows me to see what a month of your last of eating looks like. And like, I usually need at least 2 weeks before I set a goal for somebody. So you're coming on, if you're someone who's looking to hire a coach, start doing the work. You know what to do, just start doing it. So then you can actually get an accurate reading and give them an actual picture of what you're doing. Cause everybody, it never fails. I bring on a new client. I tell them to track their first week of foods. They track. And I'm like, on the first call, I'm like, hey, is this less than what you normally eat? And they're like, yeah, it is. I'm like, okay.
Just a little bit.
So tell me the things that you would normally eat on top of this. And then they go into it. And then they get, oh yeah, I usually have this. And then if I'm stressed, I'll have this. And it's like, I need to see that. I don't need to see this fake ass persona that you're putting on. I need to see the real you if I want to help you. And that's what you have to do. You have to be just strictly just doing it for education, doing it for the data. Get the data and put zero meaning behind it. Like the meaning should be to get data so I can eventually show somebody my data and they can interpret this data for me so I can have a better idea of what the next 6 to 8 months looks like. I had to breathe. That was a lot of talking. So data doesn't lie. If you can get data, if you can take measurements, if you can weigh yourself daily, if you can get all this stuff and get it all into one thing and show someone like me or Bethany this data, we have so much to work with on where you should start and what, and we can create a protocol for you.
And accurately.
Yeah. So number five is weighing versus guesstimating. This is a big thing. Everyone starts tracking with guesstimating. They're like, oh, that's probably a serving. Oh yeah. Like, they squeeze out a bottle of ketchup. Yeah, that's probably half a serving. Like, they just really don't know. They're just kind of guessing.
Looks like two tablespoons of me.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different ways to track this. Like, there's the palm method where you can actually utilize the width of your palm for, it's estimated around 30 grams of protein, depending on what type of protein you're using. There's a bunch of different stuff, but weighing, getting a food scale is like, oh my God, you have a food scale? Kind of obsessive shit is that,
you're
right?
A nut job.
Yeah, you're weighing that your ketchup bottle. It's like, the fuck? It's like, you're gonna get that, but that's how you get accurate readings. Weighing is everything. You can scan barcodes, you can do all this stuff, but if you weigh the stuff, that will be next level. You will get accurate readings and you will be much better. Now, if you're someone who's tracking to the 10 calories, like, oh, this is 10, this is 15, this is 10, it's not that deep. Don't start there. Start tracking everything over 50 calories and keep it consistent with that is going to be very, very important, because then you're not going to get so meticulous on how this is 5 and this is 8 calories. And it's like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah.
So just track the bigger ingredients of your meals and do your best to get a food scale off Amazon. There's a bunch of them, like $15, and they're life-changing. Like, you can just easily use it. You can zero things out. You can take stuff from meal containers, and it just makes things so much easier, especially for liquid calories, like oils, any type of condiments. If you can just weigh the bottle and then weigh it again, and then it gives you the difference. That's how much you use. Look at the looking at the nutrition label and actually seeing what each serving size is per what weight that is. And if you just heard that and you're like, I have no idea what the fuck you just said, Google how to read a nutrition label. Each nutrition label has a serving size.
Tons of YouTube videos that explain this very, very well.
Very well. And it's all about each serving size also has a serving size of weight. So it'll be, if it's a solid, it'll either be ounces or grams. If it's a liquid, it'll be milliliters or is it anything, or fluid ounces maybe? Yeah. Fluid ounces. Yeah. So whatever that is, that's what your weight scale will say. And then you use it from that. And that's how you get the accurate reading of a nutrition label and of tracking food. Just weigh. Like, start with guesstimating, but slowly add into weighing and getting an idea, especially if you're cooking. Like, if you're cooking, it's going to take you 30 seconds more, if that.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, number six, create structure. Creating a better structure around what your day of eating looks like. So once you have the idea of the numbers, the data, like what you're eating, now you can kind of get an idea of what your day looks like. And now you can make an audit to it. Meaning, does it make sense to eat a big breakfast and high carbohydrates if I don't go to the gym till 7 p.m.? It's like, yeah, it would make sense as long as it's balanced. And that's those are things that, like, having a coach can kind of help you with overall protocol. But Meaning, if you're going to the gym and you're eating a massive breakfast and you're going to the gym right after, doesn't make sense. So you can kind of start seeing and planning around your nutrition protocol around what your day-to-day activity looks like. And this is where creating structure around it, meaning like, okay, hey, I should have 2 to 3 meals a day, that, and then you can look at how much calories each meal is and break that down into the macros. So it's all about just starting. And once you start, you can get like make it harder and harder. And that's what coaches do. Good coaches will not just, I mean, depending on who you work with, if someone just works with more advanced level people, they're going to give you everything. But if you're somebody who's a beginner, you have to start with the basics and you have to be okay with just going with the basics. You can't be like, well, Jamie over here is doing macronutrients. Why aren't you giving me a macronutrient plan? I'm like, do you know how much protein you're eating a day? And they go, no. I'm like, that's why I'm not giving you fucking macronutrient plan.
Yeah.
So we have to start with the basics. The basics is calories. Next would be calories and protein. Thirdly would be calories or just and macros and getting an idea of a macronutrient plan. And then next would be calories, macros, and supplementation. And then once you're at supplementation, that is considered a protocol for me. You're at a actual protocol that you should follow 6 out of 7 days of the week. And if you can do that, you will be on top of your shit. You will get results and you will start feeling
you're gonna feel
better.
Good.
Yes. Yep. Love it. But okay, let's dive into you. Let's kind of dive into your tracking and what a day-to-day looks like for, and do a non-working day where you're just going to the gym, and then do a working day where you're not going to the gym.
Okay.
So if you want, you can honestly pull up like MyFitnessPal on your phone or like on something and just read that off. And just that would be probably the most simple thing to do. Bethany's pulling it up right now.
So basically, I'm going to get it. I hope I don't exit this out on accident. My biggest thing is when I do it is pre-tracking. That's what just
so dive into pre-tracking.
All the way up for success. So pre-tracking is, let me get this pulled up to where I have it. Perfect. That way I can just click back over. Pre-tracking is, for me, I lay in, you know, usually the night before when I'm getting ready for bed, before I put my phone up, I pull up my fitness pal and I literally track everything that I'm going to eat for the next day. I'll put my breakfast in, my lunch, my dinner, my snacks. And that way I know, for me, it eliminates the what am I going to eat? Takes that out of the equation completely. That way I don't have to think about it. I'm not giving myself like loose ends. I wake up, I go to the kitchen. I know what I'm going to have for breakfast, so on and so forth throughout the day. And also, especially when you do get to a point where you are on a protocol and you have a macro goal, you know that you've hit your numbers for that day. You know, when you do on the days where I just am like, you know, eating whatever, I guess intuitive eating, you could call it, and also tracking, it's nearly impossible to hit my macros because there's no the data is not there. There's no structure. You're just kind of, you know, eating whatever, which isn't bad, obviously, like if you're eating a balanced meal, or if it's someone like yourself who you've done it for years and years and you have that foundational knowledge of like, I'm getting a balanced meal right now. But pre-tracking major for me, the quickest and biggest changes that I've seen, and not just my physical, but in my mental and my stress levels and my sleep, all of that was when I was pre-tracking every single night. And then the next day waking up and eating what I had tracked.
It also just creates less decision-making for you. Like that's huge.
It's decision fatigue. It limits.
Yeah. If you're like, I have a client who's a teacher who talks about decision fatigue and she tracks the night before and it helps her so much because she's literally making decisions every day for third graders. Like, and then by the time you get home, you're like, what should I eat? And you're like, oh, fuck, now I have to make another decision. And that's a real thing. And if you're someone who has an exhausting job that makes you have to make so many decisions, if you're in a managerial position, you're an owner of a company, you need to make less decisions. And that's why, what is it? Steve Jobs wore a black t-shirt every single day. He always had a black turtleneck on, and that's just what he wore. So he didn't have to wake up and go, oh, what should I wear today? And and that's a great example of why pre-tracking can help somebody, because they get an idea. And even if you just start you don't have to start doing the whole day, but even if you start with your breakfast, so then you wake up, you literally see what you tracked, or you know what you tracked, so you just wake up and eat, which you're like, oh, before bed, you're like, oh, I'm going to have 2 eggs tomorrow, 2 pieces of toast, and some butter on the toast. You tracked it. And then you can always, while you're eating, you're like, oh, I only ate half the toast. Then you can just edit it to a half serving.
Yeah.
And that's how it's like, I would much rather you, like my clients do that and then edit and audit their stuff than forget to track. Because forgetting to track is literally creating, to me, creating is a lack of planning and a lack of
100%,
a lack of purpose behind the tracking. There has to be a strong purpose behind what you're doing, especially if it's new, because your nervous system is not going to like it. You're going to want to just eat and not think about anything, especially if you're a high stress, high anxiety person who does not do well at tracking. But there has to be intention. And if you create intention behind your sleep, you'll wake up with more purpose to go eat because you already did it. And pre-tracking is huge. Like you can track out the whole week and you get an idea. And what that does, guys, it creates structure. And structure is everything. Yeah. We thrive on structure. We thrive on consistency. I always compare this to our dogs or cats. More dogs. I don't know how cats eat, but dogs. I feed my dog
all the damn time.
I feed my dog every day in the morning and every day at dinner time. He knows when it is. He tells me what time it is and I feed him. And he eats the same fucking thing. And his health is pretty good. Hasn't had an issue. He uses the restroom twice a day. It is very consistent. And it's crazy to me that most people, I mean, I know I'm aware of this because, I mean, most people would be, I think. But some people are more aware of their dog's digestion than they are of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, why aren't you going to the restroom today? That's not good. What's wrong? You should be asking yourself the fucking same question. Like, that is a serious thing. And people will be like, oh my gosh, I haven't used the restroom in 3 days. Like, how do you not realize that? But your dog doesn't shit at night and you're like stressing out and calling the vet. That's an issue. And yes, dogs are not the same as humans, but we have to look at how they stay healthy or how they're gaining weight. And it's very simple. You go to a vet. They don't tell you to get a hormone lab done. They tell you to walk your dog less if he's fucking fat or feed him a little bit less. And they
feed him
start
less, walk
there.
Him more.
Yeah. They start there. They don't say that he has hypothyroidism and that's just, you're just screwed. Your dog's going to be fat for the rest of his life. They are going to be very, and that's why I like using vets as an example, because doctors typically in Western medicine will completely
overcomplicate
the issue, give you a diagnosis. And then once you have a diagnosis, you have a disease. And now you have something.
Then they're going to give you a medicine that you probably don't even need to be on.
That will treat the symptoms, not the root causes. And the root causes are going to be about our foundations of health, how active we are, what we're putting in our body, what we're doing each day, what we're telling ourselves. All of
the thing
are
is
hydration.
That's not addressed, which you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but that's not addressed at the visit.
it's a waste of their time to address it. They're getting a lot of people who are very overweight, very unhealthy, and you're going to tell them like, oh yeah, you need to eat less. And they're like, fuck you. You're not going to tell me how to eat. That's probably what they'd get. So from a business standpoint, it is a waste of time for them to address that. So I don't like discourage that doctors do this. It's a business. But at the same time, you have to realize that there are other people out here who can help you if you actually are willing to put in the work. And that's the biggest thing. A lot of people want to coach because they think they need to change. They have to be ready to make a change before they hire someone to help them. And that's just putting a lot of financial, not just financial, but just overall investment into yourself and just committing to yourself and knowing that once you decide that this is happening and this is a thing, nothing's going to change this, regardless of what curveball is going to throw. Like, how many curveballs have been thrown at you this past 8 months that you could have easily been like, oh my gosh, hey, I can't do this next month. And you're like, and then you realize like how important it is to have someone on your side.
The value is too high.
Yeah.
The value has been established around it and the benefits that it brings to my life and how it makes me feel like I have my head on my shoulders. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like, but that's what I tell people you know, my clients specifically, when it comes to like trying to create new habits and stuff, I'm like, you have to establish value around the habit that you are trying to create. That way, when the time comes where you're in bed and you're cozy and you don't want to get up, or you have, you know, the less healthy option right here in front of you next to your prepped food, like these are the little moments where like, you're going to need to remember why you're doing this in the first place. Like, find your why, establish value around these behaviors. That way it's easier in those moments to do the choose what you need to choose. You
gosh,
know,
gosh, what did I put in? Am I, hold on, I have to look it up. In my Instagram post yesterday, I put the last, it's funny, I haven't written as much as I used to. I used to write like 4 Instagram captions a week. Because that's when engagement was better, when people would actually read and dive into a post, and then video took over, and then it was just like, it made no sense to write that much, unless you were doing emails and stuff. But it was just about like a post with the post was about my journey from the past like 4 years, and I'll mm-hmm. link that in the show notes, guys, if you want to read it. It's just dives into who I was, how I thought day to day, and just kind of diving into like who I am today. And the last sentence is, you may not love the person who is looking back at you in the mirror, but you must learn to love who that person is becoming every single day. And that's powerful. You have to understand that the person that's tracking calories right now is not you. And it's going to feel fucking weird. And it's mm-hmm. You're not going to like it, because you're going to want to just shove the food in your face and not look at your phone. But the person who you are becoming tracks calories. The person who you are becoming loves who they are. The person.
It's like that trending audio on IG right now. You have to show up as the person who you're trying to be. You have to show up as that person.
And if you don't, then your old self will drag you back down to hell. And mm-hmm. you don't want to be there. And for the people who have been to hell, you don't want to go back. And that's, you will do your nervous system, everything will do everything it can to not let you go back. And you have to put that emotional like negativity towards that old self. You do it because you have to fear it. If you don't fear going back to who you used to be, you're never going to make a change. And that's a huge thing that Tony Robbins talks about, is you have to live in the shoes of who you are now, 5 years from now, of you not making changes, of you continuously doing these horrible things to yourself and consistently having these bad habits. What are you going to look like in 5 years? How are you going to feel? What are you going to do when you look back 5 years from now on why you didn't make changes? Like, are you going to love yourself? Are you going to hate yourself? And you have to get into a very, very dark place, honestly, and feel what that feels like so you never mm-hmm. feel it again. That was the main thing that I learned from Tony Robbins at his event that I went to in 2019, is he gets you to a dark place and mm-hmm. you have to feel what that feels like so you never want to go back. And that's where growth can that's where you just make a decision. And once you make a decision that you're not going back to that, then you're going to step into these new shoes and you're going to be a leader. You're going to be a leader for yourself, for your family, for your health. And that can start with just tracking your calories and getting an idea of what you're putting into your body so you can start to make changes. What would you say the biggest game changer for you has been, other than tracking calories?
Other than tracking calories, for me, meal prepping, grocery, honestly, if I could bundle it all into one, it would be prioritizing and budgeting time for food.
Yeah.
Literally, that's it. Just in general, food, making sure I have food, making sure I know what food I need.
Creating less resistance to eating.
To doing the things that I need to do. Like, you know, if I know that I need to eat eggs every morning this week and it's Saturday and I'm like, well, you know, I could either lay on the couch all day and fuck around and, you know, not really. But if you take I've noticed even as simple as 60 minutes of a day to sit down, walk in my kitchen with a notebook, make a food inventory, see what I have
and what you need to get,
and then what I need to get.
Yep.
It's literally that easy. Like, it's not, I feel like people overcomplicate it. And it's like, I mean, yes, in the moment, the nitty gritty, it's not fun. It's not fun being like, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't go get a drink with you tonight, or I can't go do that. I have to prep my food for this week. Because if you don't, it's going to be tomorrow. You have to get up and go to work. Now you don't have a lunch or dinner with you, you know?
Then you're going to count out.
Yeah, you're either going to eat out or you're not going to eat, you know, and you're going to feel like shit. And then that singular moment on, you know, for general public, that moment where you could have sat aside a little bit of time, grabbed your planner, thought about what am I going to eat today? What do I have? What do I need? Because you chose to not do that is now snowballing into the rest of your week. And then before you know it, because you didn't take that little bit of time, it's Thursday. It's almost the weekend again. You're like, I didn't do anything all week. I didn't eat, like, you
and
know.
And then your friends ask you to go to Thirsty Thursday and you're like, oh, fuck it. And you're like, I'll go have a drink. I haven't ate anything all week, so I should probably go out. And then it turns into a hungover Friday that then turns to day drinking Saturday. That just, and then Sunday, just complete anxiety meltdown of not feeling good and then just stressed about
it. What am I doing with my life? Yeah.
It's a horrible cycle, and yeah. I don't recommend it for anybody. So, and I think just taking ownership in your food, and think about this, if you need something that like sparks your interest on why this is important. We used to wake up to look for food every day.
Yeah.
We did not have refrigerators. We did not have freezers.
I love it.
We used to wake up and either go hunt for food or find food and find water, all of these things. Yeah. And now we have literally the luxury to have a week worth of food at our fingertips at all times. And we can't find the time to eat.
Like, yeah. Come on now.
Like, you can do it. You can do it. It's one thing if you're not hungry and your appetite hormones are shot and you can't eat breakfast and that's one thing, but something like we have the ability and we have the resources to have food, fresh food at all times. And yeah. I'm not saying you have to have fresh meat at all times. You can freeze stuff. You can throw things in the freezer. You utilize your freezer, but we have the ability to plan, but you have to be able to put that extra, 60 minutes a day into planning what your meals look like, what you need to pull from the freezer, what you need to thaw out, what you need to season, what you need to meal prep. If you can meal prep and always cook for yourself and yourself the next day, you're going to be on top of it. And if you're going to if you're someone who hates cooking and says it takes all this time,
meal prep service, literally, like, there's
start with something where
the options are limitless. Yes,
one meal of the day can be something that's already made. And all you have to do is heat up. And then once you get that, you eliminate cooking for one meal for yourself a day, then you have extra time. And then you can start slowly utilizing that time that you have for cooking for yourself of one meal a day. And then once it's one meal a day, you'll realize, oh, meal prep service doesn't make sense. I can just cook my lunch while I cook my breakfast and then take it with me. And then it just makes sense. So it's like start with the least amount of resistance possible. If tracking calories is way too exhausting for you, start with balancing your meals with more protein in it. Start with that. If that's too exhausting for you, which I don't see how that's exhausting, but that would be the basis. Start with eating more protein per meal. You're going to feel less hungry throughout the day. You're going to feel satiated. Yeah. You're going to recover better from your exercises, and you're going to be fuller longer. So that is going to be the first thing from the most beginner. If a 12-year-old came to me and said, hey, I want to get stronger and I want to like feel better, what should I do? I'm like, eat protein with each meal. They'd be like, okay, I can do that. What has protein in it? Chicken, beef, salmon, fish, any animal has protein in it. And if you're Bethany and plant-based, what has a lot of protein in it? Go.
You know, me, I'm eating a lot of beans. I still do cheese, personally. There's a lot of protein in all of the dairies. Supplements, I will say for anyone initially making that change, supplements saved my life when I first stopped eating meat. All of the transitionary foods, like the veggie burgers and, you know, now I don't really partake in those just because they're super ultra processed, at least not on a regular basis, but super helpful. And for the busy people, meal replacement shakes, massive. Those are big for me.
Meal replacement shakes and supplementation is a completely like, I kind of want to have you back on for another topic on that, so I can kind of give people a bunch of nuggets on supplementation and what is causing gut issues, what's hurting, like what to look at in ingredients, third party testing, what you need for certain things. Like, that's a completely separate topic that I probably won't touch on in this episode, but will come in the future for anybody looking more for supplementation. But at the same time, stop looking for the perfect supplements if you can't track your food. Makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense.
Don't invest and pour money into that if you can't already, if you don't already have that basis of I'm putting this effort and energy into my nutrition and to what I'm eating. If you're not already there, pouring money into something else isn't going to magically make it happen. I feel like that's something people do sometimes, is that they're like, oh, well, this isn't working, so if I buy this thing, it's going to fix this problem for me. But now you mean, you're just you not utilizing Herbalife? That either.
you mean Herbalife?
Oh, I don't know. Is that a...
That's a MLM meal replacement company that the distributors call themselves health coaches and help people lose weight because they put on 900 calories worth of shakes a day. I'm not a fan of Herbalife.
Sounds great.
If you can't hear my subtext, is it promoting something that's beneficial? Sure. It's decreasing the amount of calories people are eating. That's probably for most people who are obese, that needs to happen. Is it good for people who are just wanting to lose 10 pounds and look better and feel better? Absolutely not. We didn't grow up. We didn't evolve from eating fucking shakes or drinking shakes. We need actual food in our body and our gut microbiome needs actual food. But supplementation is great for calories are hit, macros are consistent. Energy feels good. Sleep is good. Anxiety levels are low. Boom. Supplementation. It's literally the fourth step, if not fifth. And usually I don't put anybody on supplementation unless everything else is being hit. So, and there is like I said, there's essential, there's performance, and then there's optional. Like there's three different categories there. Essential is going to be your fish oil, omega-3s for adrenal support, your magnesium for overall sleep and recovery. It's going to be vitamin D for overall mood, serotonin, and just overall feeling better. It's going to be the things that anybody could take at any time of the year, as long as they want, and it's going to be beneficial for them. Then there's performance, like creatine, things that are going to be, did you end up getting the carbohydrate complex?
It'll be here any day now, and I'm so excited.
That'll be huge. So like a overall carbohydrate complex to drink for during intro workout to help with replenishing glycogen and making sure that you have enough energy for the gym. And then there's optional stuff like nootropics and mood enhancers, things like that, that you can take that isn't going to change your life, but it could definitely help depending on who you are as a person and how you're wired. I'd personally take nootropics most on highly worked days. Just because I have ADD and it helps me actually stay in the moment, which is very helpful. But just research what you're putting in your body. There's a ton of different things out there, and there a lot of it's selling a quick fix. A lot of it's selling like.
Well, that's what I was gonna say a second ago. I feel like that's where a lot of people like the initial intrigue in supplementation is it's quick and it's easy. It's just something that you can pop in your mouth and swallow. You know, whether that be like a pill or a powder or whatever that is, it's easier to get a little bottle of that and take it than to eat a balanced meal, you know, but people don't really understand, like there's so much more bioavailability from the food. You're going to be getting so much more benefit from the actual meal that you could have prepared or from the food, like just taking the vitamin or, you know, in this example, just taking the vitamin is not going to actually do very much for you.
Yeah.
If your diet is not in check. So 100%. It's not just like a Band-Aid.
That would be a prescription medicine.
That would be what?
That would be prescription medicine that doctors have to prescribe you to stop feeling those things. Then you're going to feel like you're on top of the world, especially if you're on an amphetamine who will absolutely smash your hunger cues and allow you to be laser focused for 8 hours. And increases your dopamine level, so you don't feel great when you're not on it. That's just a different topic. But yeah, I think this is kind of wrapped up. Thank you again, Bethany. This has been a lot of fun. Diving into just overall tracking and meal prepping and why we do it and why we're choosing to do it. You have any other last little nuggets you want to throw out or anything else?
I mean, really, if there's anything that I could say, it would just be to try to build habits that are sustainable. That's been my biggest lesson around tracking and, you know, following a nutrition protocol with you is every single day, you're not going to be able to do all the things, you know, and that's something that I heard in one of your podcasts actually recently, just the other day that I was listening to, and it like kind of like revamped me and really got me excited. You were like, there's going to be days where I know I can't do all of the things, but I can get 1% better. And, you know, I don't know why I hear it every day. I say it every day, but for some reason I was like, yeah, he's right. I can't do everything, but I can do something. So yeah, I mean, don't like eliminate guilt from coming from yourself on the days that you don't do everything that you need to do, and just do something, you know,
just do something,
set yourself up for success, obviously as often as you can, but,
especially yeah, seasons. That's another thing that I will throw in, guys. Everybody has seasons in their life. That's why we have seasons throughout the calendar year. There's holidays, there's higher stress, there's lower stress seasons. And be sure that your goals are in line with the stresses and seasons of your life. If you're going through grief, if you're going through anything specific with like a loss or high stress with job, like don't put extra stress on yourself. Managing stress is the number one thing in making sure we live a long, healthier life. Cardiac males handle stress through cardiac. We develop inflammation throughout our arteries. We can cause heart attacks with not managed. Women, our hormones that will impact their weight, their hormones, their sex hormones, their ability to get pregnant, their ability to have mood swings, all of these things. So if we can manage our stress, we're going to feel better. If we can manage our stress, and that's not just, external stress. That's also internal stress. Internal stress is how much we're exercising, how much shit we take a day, like literally, how much food we eat a day, metabolic stress. There's all of these stresses in our life that we have to manage, and we have to get to a good spot. Blood work is very important. If you never get blood work, I highly recommend getting cortisol checked, your sex hormones looked at to see if there's anything that's flagged. But those are all things. I'm not a doctor. This is just recommendations that I would give to anybody looking to better their health. Manage your stress and don't punish yourself for being stressed, because stress is a very, very natural thing that happens to everybody. And without it, we'd probably be dead by now, because it keeps us alive. I think this episode was amazing. Thank you, Bethany. Very excited for everybody to dive into it. And guys, Bethany recently got hacked. Her Instagram's gone.
Yes.
So I will link her in the show notes. She is the fairy quad mother now, who is getting massive legs and building muscle each week.
From tracking my food.
From eating enough. From eating enough and pushing enough. I will link her so you guys can follow her new Instagram account in the show notes. Thank you guys for listening again. Appreciate you. And if you're listening to this, you got 1% better today because you learned at least something from this podcast. So appreciate you guys. Tune in to our next episode. I will dive into with a new guest, and she's never been on. Her name is Ramana. And we are going to dive into what 75 hard is and her experience with it. Ooh. And how I don't actually like 75 hard.
Interesting.
So it'll be someone who does it every year with someone who has never actually done it and doesn't ever intend to do it. So if you're interested, that'll come out probably the week after Christmas. Dive into that. And thank you guys again. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of the 1% Better Method podcast. If this episode brought you any sort of value, please leave a rating below or send this to a friend who really needs to hear it. I am going to continue to show up to provide enough value that at least gets you 1% better after each episode. Until next time, stay moving. I'm out.